Now, not in the studio, but on the phone, because he's incredibly busy, is Alan Knight, island raconteur, brewer, comedian. I don't know how to describe you, but anyway, good morning, bro.
Good morning, Greg. How's it going?
Very well.
Sorry, I was meant to make it into the studio, but I got distracted by work, so...
Yeah, well, that's the nature of work.
Got to do this over the phone.
Absolutely, no problem at all. You're on air now. Alan, good morning. Thank you for coming on Waiheke Radio. I just wanted to ask you a couple of things about 2019. Tell me I'm wrong. Please tell me I'm wrong. That's got to be one of the worst ever.
Well, I don't know. There was 2016, which was a pretty awful year. You know, we got the whole Brexit Trump thing, plus David Bowie died, and plus a whole lot of other people. So 2016 was a real stinker.
So that's marked out for you as a pretty shit year. How does 2000? Well, particularly the death of David Bowie, couldn't agree more. But people die, and what is it about 2019, good or bad?
Well, looking at it from a personal point of view, for me, it was a great year. I had a fantastic time. Everything worked and nothing hurt, as the saying has it. But, looking at the broader picture, it's pretty awful. I followed all the elections back in the UK. I even took the day off work so that I could sit and watch it. But
oh, my goodness. That is self-punishment, Alan Knight.
Well, no, I mean, look. People do it for sports events. I do it for political events.
Yeah, fair enough. So tell me.
Election coverage is always worth watching, but I ended up just turning it off and going and having a drink by 2 hours in. It was all just too depressing.
All right. So tell me what the election, the British, the UK election meant for you as a former Brit living in New Zealand now.
Well, I was rather torn because I sort of feel that things are always going to have to get a bit worse before they get better. And what better way to make things a whole lot worse in a hurry than Boris Johnson?
I was not
entirely unhappy to see Labour collapse, because I think Labour need to come back in a different guise. I think whatever it was they were offering, and it all seemed very vague, it wasn't enough. And I don't think that they were really ready to win.
Yeah, the argument went that they were led by an unelectable lefty. Now, do you go with that argument?
No, I think there's a great deal that I admire about Jeremy Corbyn. I just think that his position on Brexit was too vague for a lot of people.
And the UK was so tied up around Brexit and yes or no that if you didn't have a definitive, clear view of it, you probably weren't going...
You were doomed.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, of course, you know, as people say with Jeremy Corbyn, he is incredibly true to his principles. And he is of that generation of Labour politicians who never wanted to go into Europe in the first place.
Yeah.
Labour were very firmly against it. They took the not unrealistic view that exposing British manufacturing to direct competition with Germany and its agriculture to direct competition to France was going to cause a lot of problems, which it did. It's not like they were wrong on that. But, you know, I think times have changed, and personally, I'm very pro-Europe, and I was disappointed to see just how much Jeremy Corbyn stuck to his anti-Europe guns.
In the end, you were voting for anti-Europe or really anti-Europe, and how was that going to be successful?
Exactly. Looking on the plus side, it puts both Ireland and Scotland into a better position.
Well, I was going to ask you about Scotland, because that must be dear to your heart.
It is, yes.
And so what if you were the Scottish Prime Minister now, would you be doing?
Moving towards a referendum as quickly as possible.
Right, okay. So you, and if you were an elector in Scotland, you'd be voting for leaving the United Kingdom?
Definitely.
And Scotland has the economic grunt to go it alone?
Well, some people seem to think that it doesn't, but if you look at GDP figures for last year, for example, Scotland had a GDP of $249 billion compared to New Zealand's 2005, and we seem to do all right. So,
yeah.
and that's with the world's markets as far away from us as it can possibly get. We've got Scotland, on the other hand, has the world's markets right on its doorstep.
Quite right.
And as I say, has almost $50 billion worth of GDP higher than New Zealand does. So, yeah, I think Scotland can go it alone.
Right. And so you're not rushing back there, though, are you, Alan Knight? Because let's face it,
no.
It's better over here.
It's better over here.
So let's talk about here. What did you think about 2019 from a New Zealand point of view?
Well, from a New Zealand point of view, I reveled in the Labour government's achievements. I think they've done fantastically. I think it's a shame that there are people. I noticed former Waiheke resident Bruce Bissett wrote a piece recently within the last week or so saying, oh, well, I'm really not happy about Jacinda Ardern because she's not left-wing enough. And it's like, you know what?
He used to wear a beret and walk around the island thinking he was sort of... Bruce, we love
you. Well, exactly.
We love you, Bruce, but Jacinda was always going to be a bit further right than Bruce Bissett. Those who don't remember Bruce Bissett, he was the chair of our Waikiki Community Board in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Indeed, yes. I remember it was one of the great standout Waiheke moments for me was the day that Bruce Bissett threw up in my kitchen sink. and I remember thinking, I really like living in a small community where you know people on local government will come round to your house and be sick in your sink.
Excellent. I won't ask you what he'd been drinking. It clearly wasn't Waiheke beer. Now,
it was Waiheke wine. It was particularly disgusting wine.
All right. So 2019 from a New Zealand point of view, you're quite happy with the Labour government, the Labour-led government, we should say, because they have been hamstrung a little bit by being in coalition.
Oh, a little bit, but, you know, that's MMP for you. I can live with that. But personally, I'm more enthused by Jacinda Ardern than I have been with any politician in recent years. I think she's done a fantastic job.
And
really, really proud to be a New Zealander at the moment.
Oh, that's fantastic to hear. So we are a little bit on the other side, you know, the other side of the coin. The rest of the world seems to be swinging to the sort of megalomaniac right, and yet...
Yeah, well, good luck to them if that's the way they want to go.
All right, so let's talk about next year. In New Zealand, are we going to be able to keep this government, those of us who like it?
Well, New Zealand seems to have very little taste for changing governments after just one term.
True.
When was the last time it happened? 1975?
Yeah, no, you're quite right, Alan. There is you get two goes in New Zealand, and if they love you, you might get three.
Well, generally, you know, three is a pretty good go. 9 years, it's not bad.
The last national government.
But I think there is a general feeling that this country needs to sort of keep whatever government it votes in, you keep them in for a couple of terms, because chopping and changing... And just constantly changing your mind over what government you have is just not a good way forward.
So you're fairly confident that...
It seems to work for Italy. I mean, the Italians seem to love that kind of stuff.
They change
but
every 6 months.
But for New Zealand, we're a very sensible country, and I don't think chopping and changing all the time. Besides, can you really expect Simon Bridges as Prime Minister?
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, he is the classic example of the kind of leader that a party will elect in its first term in opposition, knowing that they're expendable.
Quite right, and they're grooming.
You get to be blamed for everything for 3 years, then you lose the next election with whatever grace you can manage. Then you step aside for the person the party actually wants to have.
And they seem to be grooming Christopher Luxon for that role.
Oh, now that's a particularly nasty thing.
Why?
Do not like the look of him.
Why?
Well, quite apart from the fact that he's, you know, it's yet another of these kind of ring-in people that the National Party like to bring in. Very little constituency experience. It's just they seem to have a kind of a profile, so let's fast-track them.
Yeah, it's a profile that matches John Key's in many ways. And that profile is sort of cookie-cutter replaceable, and that those people who seem to be so in love with John Key will be back to love the next John Key.
Yes, well, you see, one thing that John Key, you can at least say for him, he didn't do religious stuff, whereas Luxton is an absolute outright God-botherer. and I am implacably opposed to anyone with openly held religious views ever holding public office.
Yeah, well, the one thing I do know about Christopher Luxon's religious views is that because he was the chief executive of Air New Zealand, he had to work a lot, and he would work at the weekends, but he felt that was irreligious in a way, so he wouldn't let his children see him work at the weekends. And to me, that seems, you know, I don't know the full story behind that, but that seems to me to be an indicator of you might have something, you know, he might be able to present a public view where something different is going on behind. And that's the one thing I think about just is you get what you get, right?
Yes.
And you don't feel that there's this duplicitous politician at the front and saying the right thing, and then behind there's another person working in dark rooms to organise things in other ways. And so,
well, you would have to hope that Jacinda Ardern does at least have a little bit of the that kind of terrifying mutant toughness that all politicians must have if you're going to get to the top of the greasy pole.
Does she have that?
You'd hope so, because I want her to stay where she is.
Yeah. Yeah. She seems to be very good at the kind face. Have we seen the tough face yet?
Hmm. Well, I'm certainly liking the kind face.
Yeah, it's a real change.
And it's also very noticeable when you look at comments on news stories from around the world. People all over the place going, how do we move to New Zealand?
Yeah, no, but I think that there's more love for Jacinda outside the country in some ways.
Well, that's often the way.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's talk about Waiheke, because that's actually the most important place on the planet. So,
exactly, yeah.
So what kind of year did Waiheke have, Alan?
Well, what a very dull local board election we had.
Dull?
Dull.
Why?
Deathly dull. I mean,
why?
There was just no fire or fury to it. Really rather a lot of quite average candidates saying boring things, and not everybody seemed to want to sit this one out. It's like, yeah, this is boring.
Yeah.
Not like we've had in the past.
No, there was a lack of, I mean, everybody was so nice in this election, wasn't there? What's gone wrong? Politics aren't supposed to be nice, they're supposed to be clever.
Yes. And plus, we didn't even have a nutter candidate this time around. It's usually in the past, we've usually had somebody with only a very tenuous grasp of reality running, who just kind of makes the thing all quite exciting.
Right.
Whereas the best we got for comic relief this time around was David Bagent, whose campaign was delightfully, hilariously disastrous. But at the same time, you know, he was doing his best. It wasn't like he was a genuinely cut loose from reality type candidate.
No, not at all.
Like we've seen in previous ones.
Yeah, we have had a few of those in past years, haven't we? Yeah. What about the?
But does the dullness of it all reflect the fact that we've come to realise that what we've been sold with Super City is a local board who really have very, very little power.
Right. So if you could. We've tried so many times to get away from New Zealand, but we seem stuck with New Zealand. And so, if you could, Alan Knight, would you cut the umbilical cord to the mainland?
Of course I would.
Yeah.
The kind of person I am.
Yeah, good for you.
Yes, cut away and deal with the reality of it all later.
The
Super City has been a disaster. I mean, this is the interesting thing, that this cuts right across the left-right divide. Nobody's really happy when you have surveys of things like Auckland Transport, where approval ratings are down below 20%. I mean, that's just disastrous.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? And transport being one of not only the great economic and social issues, but now a huge environmental issue. I mean, environmental issue really, as we teeter on the edge of the wonderful Kevin Hester from Rakino Island, as he puts it, the biosphere is about to unravel, and we have and we have a 20% approval rating for our local transport authority.
Yeah.
That's pretty shit looking forward to 2020.
Yeah, the Super City really has it. The only people it's made happy are the kind of people who are enriching themselves behind the scenes, given the lack of transparency and the way the whole thing's been set up.
that was our great fear in, on Waiheke, that we would lose a sense of control of our own destiny. And you think that's happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we have.
And sure enough, we have, and we are becoming...
So I think it, the rather lackluster election for local board this year was, I think, really... That happened because of this general feeling that it doesn't matter who you vote for. It's not like they're going to be able to do anything.
Yeah.
They'll allocate a few small local funding issues and deal with a few things here and there, but that's it.
There was quite a strong emphasis in the campaign this year, I thought, that that it was about being, yeah, well, everybody seemed to be wanting to be very nice to everybody else, and that's great, but it doesn't achieve stuff, right?
Mm.
Boring.
Well, we certainly didn't see that that rather strange and vocal right-wing movement that we've seen in previous years.
No, although to be fair, the board is fairly split if you want to go through the old left-right divide, which I think is holding us back, frankly. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm not saying that it's not real. But in a way, we need to develop that left-right thinking for the future. What do you think?
A bit, possibly. But certainly not in the toxic way that was happening before.
No, that's right, yeah. Okay, let's look outside the local board at Waiheke. Are you feeling good about 2020 or are you feeling bad?
No, I'm feeling great about it.
Oh, good. Why?
The island feels like it's... the community feels very solid at the moment to me. There is a feeling, I think, also that the tourism boom has begun to slacken off.
Yeah.
And well, that we're maybe...
Yeah, in fact...
Maybe I can, getting a little control of our own destinies again.
Yeah, possibly. I can report some reports that have been reported to me, so this is like third hand, that it's actually quite relatively quiet in the visitor industry on the island this Christmas.